KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music, if it is geek. It's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Center talk show here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. I am Joe, and with me is...
Caleb.
And...
Jason?
Wait a minute.
Oh, Jason. No. I must say, you were looking a lot sexier today.
Thank you.
Your voice has changed as well.
Yeah.
A little bit.
No, in all seriousness, that's Elaine.
Elaine. Yes.
Jason will be here soon, so don't fret. Don't change the station yet. Like, I'm not going to listen if Jason's not there.
Yeah, Super Jason is coming.
He is coming.
Just relax.
He will be here. But until then, we're here, and we're gonna rock you with an awesome show tonight. We are, of course, Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Center talk show here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. Holidays are here.
Woo!
You know, it's
unless you're on the freeway, and then you're like,
yeah. It's so far I've avoided them all. I don't know about yourselves. Have you?
Thus far, I have avoided it. The internet has been my mall, and it is a beautiful place.
I've done some shopping, but I'm not a crazy shopper.
Hopefully, I can avoid it, but I have a feeling I might have to brave some stores or something and face the crowds and the traffic. But
if you brace yourself for it and just kind of mentally prepare ahead of time, it's like people, cars everywhere, just everyone calm down.
It's true.
That serenity now.
the message for all.
Yes.
The worst is when you have to go out and get something that you just kind of need, like, I'm out of milk. I got to go to the store and fight a whole bunch of people that I don't want to fight.
Just for like one or two little things. Dang it.
Man.
Eggs and milk. Come on, people.
I really do need these, but it's not worth it. But anyway, we're going to talk about some good stuff tonight. Like I said, we got a great show in the core. We're going to talk about some of our favorite sort of holiday entertainment, for anything from Thanksgiving to New Year's, since it kind of encompasses all these holidays. And so we'll definitely would love to hear your favorites out there. And Caleb, how can they do that?
Well, if you would like to interact with us, you can find us on Facebook. If you put a search for Robots Attack, two words, you will find us. Or you can find us on Twitter. Our handle is RobotsAttackMe. Or you can find us on the old email at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And finally, the best way to kind of just get all of it in one place is robotsattack.me. That is our own webpage. On the button that says interact in the upper left, there you will get to a page which has the links and an email form. If you don't want to like just use your email client, you can do it there. That's new. And there's also a section on the right hand, in the right hand, just permanent panel, that is subscription links to iTunes and RSS and to Facebook, Twitter, and all that information is listed right there. We even have our Google Plus page on there. So, you know, hey.
Nice. Yeah. See, we try to keep it nice and easy so you can participate, because we love it when you do.
It's so much awesome when you do.
Yeah.
And that's robotsattack.me for all of that.
All of it. So that's what we're going to talk about in the core, holiday entertainment stuff. And then, of course, we're going to have an awesome Caleb's Corner tonight.
Oh, yes.
And the usual, we always have the news. And I'm sure we're going to have some awesome stories for
Indeed.
You as well. But before all of that, even before the new releases, we've got a PSA.
The San Francisco Living Wage Coalition is holding its end-of-the-year celebration on Saturday, December 14th from 4 to 7 p.m. It will be held at the Redstone Labor Temple, located at 2940 16th Street in San Francisco. Several musicians and poets will be performing at this event, and there will also be a raffle and children's activities. It's a wheelchair-accessible event as well. For more information, call 415-863-1225 or email sflivingwage@riseup.net or check online at livingwage-sf.org.
Nice. All right.
Well done.
I mentioned the new releases. Let's get to those new releases. If you're going to be venturing into the theater this weekend, here's a small little selection of some of the films you have a choice from. First off, probably the biggest release, The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug.
Woo-hoo. Or Smaug, if you want to get all hoity-toity about
it. If you're
it.
Not pronouncing it
right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Smaug. Thorin and company have reached Lake Town, and it is time for the Hobbit Bilbo Baggins to fulfill his contract with the dwarves. The party must complete the journey to Lonely Mountain, and burglar Baggins must seek out the secret door that will give them access to the hoard of the dragon Smaug, or Smaug.
If you want to say it wrong.
If Bilbo and the others are able to gain the treasure, will they be able to keep it? And will they discover what has become of the wizard Gandalf? If that has absolutely no interest for you, maybe this next one will. Tyler Perry's A Madea Christmas. Madea dispenses her unique form of holiday spirit on a rural town when she's coaxed into helping a friend pay her daughter a surprise visit for Christmas. If that doesn't sound anything interesting to you, maybe this next one will. American Hustle, a fictional film set in the alluring world of one of the most stunning scandals to rock our nation. American Hustle tells the story of con man Irving Rosenfeld, played by Christian Bale, who along with his equally cunning and seductive partner Sidney Prosler, played by Amy Adams, is forced to work for a wild FBI agent Richie DeMaso, played by Bradley Cooper. DeMaso pushes them into a world of Jersey power brokers and mafia that's as dangerous as it is enchanting. So, and if that isn't something that sounds interesting to you, maybe you want to check out one of Paul Walker's last films, The Hour, or just Hours. No, the just Hours. A father, Paul Walker, struggles to keep his infant daughter alive in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. And finally, if you're into Tom Hanks or Mary Poppins or Walt Disney, they're Saving Mr. Banks. And Walt Disney's daughters begged him to make a movie of their favorite book, P.L. Travers' Mary Poppins. He made them a promise, one that he didn't realize would take 20 years to keep. In his quest to obtain the rights, Walt comes up against a curmudgeon-y, uncompromising writer who has absolutely no intention of letting her beloved magical nanny get mauled by the Hollywood machine. But as the book stops selling and money grows short, Travers reluctantly agrees to go to Los Angeles to hear Disney's plans for the adaptation. Well, no, that's more magical and stuff.
More magical than whoa.
they are both rather well known for being strong-willed, so there was a certain amount of clash in that.
Some headbutting.
Yeah.
that's quite the variety of movies.
Yeah, nice little selection. I try to grab what I can, so there's hopefully something that's interesting to people.
Indeed. Oh, one other thing from what I'm hearing with some of the reviewers, if you're thinking it's a children's family film, you might want to not think it that way. Some people are saying that's
the Mary Poppins one.
Yeah, the
American Hustle.
Yeah, no, Saving Mr. Banks is a bit more of a.
You're gonna bring your kids to that.
A little more. what's the word I'm looking for? Dramatic. Like it's more of a. It's still an endearing story, but from what I hear, but it's not a whole all time happy. Sort
looks
of
like
thing.
It's more along the lines of like Finding Neverland.
I think
more
is
of,
it's,
like the story okay. behind it. Yeah, it's got more hard hitting emotions and.
Yeah, it's. That's a very apt comparison, I think.
When you've got curmudgeon-y in there as a description, it's probably not for the kids.
Kids don't understand curmudgeon.
No, they don't. But one thing that kids do understand?
Yes.
Despicable Me.
Oh, transition. Nice.
Good segue.
Thank you. Despicable Me has dropped on Blu-ray and DVD this week. It's Despicable Me 2, to be absolutely clear. Despicable Me 2. Thank you. From supervillain to super dad, Gru and minions in tow have been recruited by the Anti-Villain League to save the world. If you want a little more Paul Walker fix, you can get Fast and Furious 6 on Blu-ray and DVD. Picking up shortly after after Fast 5, this reunites Dom and crew to take on another driving team that has plans that could destabilize the world. Oh, and a tank. There's a chase with a tank. It's popcorn fun. Stop fussing about believability and enjoy it.
Seriously, do not think that you will be able to believe this movie.
Yeah. Forget about airplane runways, lengths, and just relax and enjoy.
Just pop yourself a nice big tub of popcorn and enjoy this movie because it's just fun. Then there's The Hunt, going into a more serious realm on Blu-ray and DVD. A chilling story about how lies and mistrust destroys a man's life when gossip turns his small community against him.
Starring Helen Hunt. and Bunny man. Hunt.
Not this time.
I don't know any other Hunts.
Hunts ketchup? No.
Yeah. And if you would like to relive the memories of the magical story of Mary Poppins, the 50th anniversary edition has dropped on Blu-ray and DVD this week.
How what interesting.
Nice timing.
Yeah, how convenient. It's like it was planned or something. No. Yes.
You notice the foreheads already going.
nice callback there. It was kind of a slow week for DVDs and Blu-rays, but I'm going to round it out with an unusual choice.
Ooh, okay. All right.
The Rooftop on Blu-ray and DVD. Hmm. A Drifter from the Rooftops. It says Galilee, but I think it looks like it happens in Taiwan, so I'm not sure exactly how that. I didn't write the description all of it myself. Has a chance to encounter with a girl that will change his life forever. Featuring Taiwanese pop star Jay Chou in front and behind the camera.
Oh.
This being a foreign musical, I figured a trailer was in order, so there'll be a link on our stuff because it's kind of awesome, I have to say. Not quite Bollywood, but it's it's impressive.
Okay. All right, well, if you're not interested in movies, you want to play some video games? Here's some ones that came out this week. Xbox One got Peggle 2. Peggle 2 injects players into the peg-poppin' vista of the original. While delivering an array of new features and functionality, Peggle 2 offers all new levels, new and improved power-ups, fantastic multiplayer modes, which will be coming later, gesture controls with Kinect for Xbox One, the ability to customize the Peggle Masters who host the game, and much more. If you're not interested in Peggle 2, which apparently it's getting amazingly high reviews, but if you're not even interested in that, or you don't have an Xbox One, maybe you want to play Doki Doki Universe for the PS3, PS4, the Vita. Doki Doki Universe is a charming interactive game world that takes you on a journey to explore the concept of humanity. Players will travel to uniquely themed planets and asteroids to meet some of the most bizarre creatures in an effort to learn more about them and hopefully learn a little bit more about themselves along the way. If that doesn't interest you, you can play Samurai Gun for the PC and Vita. Samurai Gun is a 2-to-4-player local multiplayer game. Each player is armed with a sword and gun with only 3 bullets to a life. Both swords and bullets can be deflected with clever control and timing. Levels range from thick bamboo forests that can be hacked through to vertically looping cliffs and caverns which bear walls that can be sharpened to deadly points.
Dun, dun, dun.
If samurai or guns don't interest you, maybe you're into books that happen to be video games that happen to be on the PC, which is about a novelist called The Novelist. The novelist asks one central question: can you achieve your dreams without pushing away the people you love? The game focuses on Dan Kaplan, a novelist struggling to write the most important book of his career while trying to be the best husband and father he can be. The Kaplans have come to a remote coastal home for the summer, unaware that they're sharing the house with a mysterious presence. You. And finally, if you want to get your workout on, you got the Wii Fit U. Wii Fit U is a new installment in the Wii Fit series that combines fun and fitness with the new exercise and activities and incorporates the gamepad in unique ways.
Wii Fit U into your clothes better?
Nice.
I'll be here all night, everybody. No, actually I won't. But
until the show is done. Then.
Yeah, until the show is over and then I will not be
then
here.
It'll be gone and then the pre-funk show will,
it's, that's
will come
right.
on and then... I mean, I'm sure they'd let you stay, but you won't be staying.
So. No, I won't.
It'd be a little awkward.
It'd be a little strange. Anyways. So, from all of that to the realm of comics, over in DC land, it's Justice League number 25. The Forever Evil arc continues. This time, Nightwing is in the sights of the Crime Syndicate. And if you want a little more Justice League, try Justice League 3000, number one.
3000?
3000.
That's a lot.
There's a, that is a lot. In the year 3000. No. The League finds themselves in the far future. But what does that mean? For the heroes and for the world, obviously. Over on the other side of the city in Marvelandia is Uncanny X-Men number 15. The Uncanny X-Men ladies are off for a little R&R.
Yeah.
While they're out, they are they see the effects of inhumanity, which is the latest story arc that they're doing.
Okay.
Not just inhumanity.
not just inhumanity. It's actually a thing.
Okay.
Then if you want a little more X-Men, because it's the Marvel Universe and that's pretty much what they sell, is Wolverine and the X-Men number 39. The ripples of the Battle of the Atom are still pushing out, and in this issue, it's Wolverine and Cyclops versus Sentinels. Hard has to be worn in this area, because there'll be things falling from the sky.
Oh.
Then for the non-New York-based publishing houses, there is Halo Escalation number 1 from Dark Horse. It's a new ongoing series featuring the Halo universe. In this issue, the UNSC Infinity is protecting a peace delegation, which is a good thing because a rogue group of Covenant have other plans. Dun dun dun. Star Trek Annual 2013 from IDW is presented by John Byrne, and this new quote unquote episode continues the adventures of the original crew of the Enterprise.
Mm.
Walking Dead number 118 from Image. It's a new episode of The Walking Dead. If you're into that, then you've already probably purchased this. If you haven't, you probably should. If you really want to know what's going on, Rick and Maggie are at odds over his latest plan. And as all plans are, they never quite go right in all-out war, which is their latest story arc. Finally, we're going to round it out with the WWE number one.
Yes!
From Paper Cuts and Super Genius, it's part one of four. In Pandemonium Squared.
Yes.
This story comes from the mind of Mick Foley and is encompassing the WWE pantheon. The superstars find themselves brought together in a no-holds-barred throwdown that seems beyond the norm. Will the madness spread, or is Mr. McMahon going to have to lay down the law?
Are there pandas in this?
I don't think there's pandas in this particular version. And there's no owl bears or platypus bears or the pebble. Although the pebble did write it, but that's a different issue.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. And then finally, I'm going to mention a website, a webcomic, which you might want to check out called Blind Springs at blindsprings.com. It is beautifully illustrated story of a girl of the forest. It's still very early in the story, and the look is really, really well done. They are just now hitting the actual depth of the story, and it's good. You should definitely check this one out.
Nice.
It's fun.
All right. I've got some music for you that's new this week.
Yay!
The first, we've got R. Kelly with Black Panties. That's the name of the album. That's the name of the album. All right,
I don't doubt it. Right. I'm still amused.
This is the R&B singer's 12th full length studio release. Features guest appearances from 2 Chainz with a Z,
mm-hmm.
Ludacris, Kelly Rowland, and Young Jizzy. Z's and stuff
with a J. Wow,
yeah.
That's a curious spelling.
Yep. Second, we have Childish Gambino with the album Because the Internet. The second full-length studio release for actor-rapper/ Donald Glover as Childish Gambino features guest appearances
from Hini people.
Eco,
yeah,
Azita Banks, and Chance the Rapper. Then we have Robert Pollard, Blazing
Jim. The rapper? Sorry.
Maybe, I don't know. Robert Pollard with Blazing Gentleman. This is the second solo release for the prolific Guided by Voices singer-songwriter. Then we have a 7 Days of Funk, self-titled 7 Days of Funk. Rapper Snoop Dogg or Snoop Lion or whatever he's calling himself right now reinvents himself again as Snoopzilla for this funk project with Damn Funk.
And Snoopzilla, that is beautiful.
Bigger. Yep. If you can't tell, it's a funk album.
Okay, so that was unclear.
Yeah. As you weren't sure what those 7 days were, they were of funk.
You might have confused it with the 12 Days of Christmas.
It's true.
You
it's not 12 days of funk or Christmas. It's
seven days of Christmas. Seven days of funk.
So, okay. And last, Brandon Benson, You Were Right. That's the album. This is the sixth full-length solo release for the singer-songwriter who previously was a member of the Rancors.
Rancors. But yes.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
that group that I don't know anything about, but apparently Caleb does. So that's
good.
I
recognize the name. That's all.
I know that.
Elaine knows.
Somebody knows.
Somebody in the group knows. The audience is out there. Great. I'm changing the station now. Don't do it.
No.
More good stuff to come.
Like this PSA. Ticket giveaways. Do you want free tickets to a concert? KSU has got you covered. Just listen in and you could win. To see which shows we're giving away tickets for, go to KSU.org and click on promotions. We don't give tickets away during the show, so don't call for tickets.
Not our show, but there's a lot of other shows.
Lots of shows on the station do.
There will be tickets.
So, yeah.
KSU.org, we have a show listing. Check it out there.
Yeah, just click on schedules and promotions and check out all that jazz. All right. Those were the new releases. Hopefully something in those is something you're interested in this week.
Smaug.
No. No.
Smaug versus Smaug.
If you go back far enough in the history, it isn't pronounced Gandalf, it's pronounced Smaug.
Yeah. It's Tolkien. Tolkien.
Putting the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Oh, boy. All right, before we lose any of our audience who just tuned in, we're going to play some music. I'm going to play the local artist, The Well-Wishers, with Peel Away from the album Dunwoody. And then we will be back with the news. Because we are Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Center talk show here on KACU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. So stick around. You know you want to.
It'll be worth it.
It will. It will. I swear. We swear.
Totally.
But not cursing.
Not literally. But
yeah. Just we promise.
We're emphatic about it.
Just don't change it. Please.
Good deal.
We need this.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
News.
That's right. Welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Central talk show here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. We are in the news, and Caleb has our first story.
That's right. So the first story tonight is about Netflix, because, well, we're geeky and internet-y, so, and Netflix is all about that. And one of the things that is, studies came out saying, showing that Netflix is almost as popular as cable TV in the age bracket of 18 to 36 year olds. Like the statistics is about the Netflix, about 43% of the people that were interviewed that responded said yes to Netflix, and 46% said cable TV. So we are the Netflix subscribers are catching up to cable really quick. Netflix far out expands satellite TV, Amazon Prime, and Hulu Plus. So Amazon Prime is actually the second most popular thing in our age bracket after Netflix, which is fascinating. It's like it's sort of putting this idea of the a la carte system for viewing of media. It puts it kind of in a place where it's real. It's like, wow, we can actually make this system work for everybody involved. And I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Netflix was definitely smart pushing the streaming service, like sticking with it instead of kind of letting it slip, you know, like just PC, like getting it on the 360 and all these bunch of different devices is like super smart.
Yeah, pretty much like making it available on anything that can stream across that can receive an internet signal was a mark of brilliance. So, yeah, so there you go. Something to consider if you're like looking at your cable bill going, I only watch about three channels. Maybe I can better spend this money.
It's true.
Okay, I'm breaking into the broadcast. for the first time this evening.
What? He just shows up and all of a sudden he wants to talk on the radio.
I know. I can't be silenced. This is kind of an interesting story and to me, not just for its very topmost details, but I mean, it's still pretty cool. They're making a bus where the entire side of the bus is a transparent view screen for advertising and such.
Uh-huh.
And see, here's the thing that kind of throws me off is that I would have went with OLED technology because it was basically made to do stuff like this.
Yeah.
But they managed to do it with plain old LCD technology.
Fascinating.
So, I have no idea how they managed to even do that, because as far as I could tell, there was no way to have an LCD be completely clear. But they're going ahead with it, and it looks like it's going to beat out OLED as the first mega screen type of advertising vehicle.
As long as you aren't putting what makes the LCDs do the color thing is they actually have the dyes the in the crystals that change that flicker, whereas like I have seen clear LCD things, but they're pretty unusual.
Well, the sticking point, as far as I knew, was that LCDs can't self-illuminate. They need something else in order to channel the light through the crystals.
This is very true.
So I don't know how they managed to pull off that little bit of witch doctory goodness, but
maybe it's like the lighting along the edge of the panel that shines up into it.
Maybe it's really impressive. Right now, of course, it's just concept art, but it's the first thing that I've seen where they're actually planning on putting it into municipal bus lines pretty soon. So it'll be interesting to see if OLED like squeaks in at the very last minute and beats out LCD. Not that there's some big fight between them or anything. I'm sure they're quite civil. But
no, they can be competitors without having to be uncivil.
It would be more fun if they fought, though. I mean,
yeah. Consumers
hopefully two like competitive buses don't like fight it out.
Oh, okay. And,
You know,
it'll become sentient and fight.
Get turned transformers.
They just make it look like they were transforming by.
Oh, I see. I gotcha.
So yeah, they'd look like some sort of animal when they were all through, but it would still be a boxy bus thing.
It's not called the Vita Slim, but the smaller model in Japan swapped out.
Yeah, I heard they switched
OLED
to it also.
To LCD screen.
Yeah, just when you thought LCD was dying out and the next bigger, better thing had come along, they're swapping back all over the place.
Must have found a nice reserve of the crystals or something.
That totally seems like some sci-fi plot or something like that.
Well,
Energon crystals, maybe.
Ooh,
yeah. Or what are the crystals in Star Trek?
Dilithium crystals.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go. Well, my next story doesn't have anything to do with crystals or Star Trek or Transformers or anything, but it does have cars.
We'll be
in
the
it.
Judge of that.
It does have cars in it, so I guess it's
there.
Sort
you go.
Of like
there you go.
Roll
out.
The revised Fast and Furious 7 script may still include Paul Walker. Universal is hoping to salvage existing footage shot for Fast and Furious 7, including scenes featuring the late Paul Walker, instead of starting from scratch. Following Walker's tragic death, studio chairman Donna Langley and production co-president Jeffrey Christenbaum were tasked with finding a creative solution to completing Fast 7. According to The Hollywood Reporter, writer Chris Morgan is currently revising the script in hopes of tastefully retiring Walker's character Brian O'Connor using scenes already shot, reportedly filmed on the action sequel was over halfway completed at the time of Walker's death.
Oh, wow.
That's further along than I thought it was.
Should Morgan's draft be suitable, Universal could restart production on Fast 7 as early as January, although that's a best-case scenario. For now, production remains suspended indefinitely, and the July 11th release date is obviously scrapped. The studio has already poured roughly $150 million into the picture, a bill that its insurance firm, Fireman's Fund, might have to pay in full if Universal concludes the picture must be started anew. Ultimately, this could lead to the biggest insurance claim in Hollywood history. However, insiders are confident that Fast 7 will eventually be released along with a probable eighth installment. Quote, I actually believe the tragedy will add to returns, a rival studio exec speculated, added a Universal insider. Sadly, it will probably make people more interested.
Yeah, that's a little rough.
But yeah, I think, I hope they can do something with it. I mean, yeah. It would be a shame like not to be able to like see him, you know, in the series again, even, you know, just for the last time.
Yeah.
Not get a chance for the audience to cheer.
Cheer
for one more time for Paul Walker.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. Yeah, that's one of those deaths that caught me off guard because I've watched all of the movies at this point and I never really liked him all that much. But for some reason,
him
it actually...
Or the character or just...
All of the above, really. Okay. And I ended up hearing the story, and it actually kind of hit me hard. And I really don't know why. Like, somehow, watching all of these movies and seeing a familiar face, it ends up getting in your blood somehow.
Yeah, like you said, you become familiar with this person. And right. He seemed like just a normal dude.
Yeah, yeah.
From what I've heard.
I didn't know much before what he was doing, but apparently, like, yeah, he did a lot of charity work. He's always like helping vets and helping people and stuff like that. He was just like, he was so out of the news because he was just kind of a normal guy, you know, with his daughter. It wasn't, you know, like the paparazzi, and whatever, just sort of like left him alone because he was quote unquote boring. Because
plus, I guess he was kind of well known for doing really big gestures. If somebody did something good for him, he'd repay it in kind like tenfold if it was somebody that was out of the money loop that he was in.
Yeah.
And the DVD of the last film is dropping, like Caleb said, and I heard that a proceed of those of the money from that is going to go to one of his charities.
Oh, okay, that's
in
cool.
memory of him. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, because
yeah,
I mean,
good on Universal for being classy like that.
Yeah, because his charity was. I mean, when he died, he was like his charity was raising money for the Philippines thing. So
hurricane. But yeah, yeah, was...
so hopefully they can use the footage. It would suck to be, you know, it would be wasted. It'd be cool to be able to see him one more time, you know, in the film. And
indeed. So let's see. There's not really a smooth transition from that, so I'm just gonna jump in. Recently,
make it work.
from fast cars to fast dinosaurs.
Ooh, there we go.
The
cars that run on gas. The gas created from dinosaurs.
Right.
Yeah. Muscle fuels. There we go.
And we can go back to Transformers a little bit too.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Yeah. There you go. We did it, guys. We did it.
All right.
We did it. Woo.
one of the more interesting fossils that has been found is the tiny skeleton of what looks something like a baby rhinoceros. This creature is about looks to have been about 3 years old and was about 5 feet long, and it was found in a river near Alberta, Canada, and it is one of the few fossils of a young dinosaur that has ever been found. You know, and usually the young dinosaurs, they're typically eaten, and because they're smaller, easier to pick up, but
or
they grew up into full size
on
dinosaurs.
The positive side of things.
Paleolithic chicken nuggets there.
Dino nuggets, the original. But yeah, The researchers have had a really rough time finding, you know, examples of the young of the species because they're just difficult to find. Either they grew up or they're not intact. And so this one's mostly intact specimen. So that's just really interesting. Like, it's like, oh, so this is what the young versions of some of these other dinosaurs look like.
Mm-hmm. I've heard too that's part of the reason why it's such a big deal, them finding the eggs of these dinosaurs fossilized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's like it's a twofer. You get to find out a little bit about how they like grew these things in the first place.
Yeah.
And then you get the bonus of a tiny skeleton on the inside.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, and this one is it's of the Ceratops variety, so it's Triceratops-like.
Okay.
Little dude.
Okay.
It's a little cute little skeleton.
I want one.
Can I take it home? And of course, if you want to check it out, you can go to our Facebook page or Twitter. We post the links to all of our stories there.
Yes,
search
indeed.
Robots Attack. You can go to robotsattack.me and see everything.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you do that.
Well, within tastefulness guidelines, yeah.
Everything's
covered
in the show.
Yeah. Right. Let's put it that way.
And in the name of tastefulness, I have a story about bull sperm.
Well, before you get to that bull sperm,
that's a title.
We've got a PSA.
Whoa, Jason. So animals. we're in between dinosaurs and bull sperm, which seems appropriate to read. Are you an animal lover? What the hell? Homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer. Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join us at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for us on Facebook.
And on that, if you go there, I think it was like the San Jose Animal Center or something. Mm-hmm. There is, I saw a link that they posted, and I promise I'd mention it on the show. There's a super cute orange cat named Peaches.
She's so cute. And she's a girl.
Yes.
Most orange cats are boys.
That's true. Cute. That's true. She needs a new home. Her owner is too sick to take care of her. So she was dropped at the shelter. So if you're looking for a cute, really cute orange cat, go check it out. I think they're off of Monterey Road.
Yeah, they are. They're off Monterey. Right. And she's on sale for $12.
Yeah, so.
She's awful cute. I almost adopted her, but I think my cat would probably try and beat her.
But yeah, if you just go to the San Jose Animal Advocates, you can probably find the link on there. So on to bull sperm.
Hey, it's a double whammy because I'm... I'm going to talk about not only bull sperm, but I'm going to magically make it into...
Okay. Wait for it, everyone. Brace it.
The robot story of the night.
Oh! Robot that runs on...
What?
Not quite that. That would be...
I don't like where this is going.
That might not be as awesome. But, basically, Oliver Schmidt's team at the Institute of Integrative Nanosciences in Germany, he's basically figured out how to harness the power of bull sperm to make them into tiny robots to do his bidding.
Whoa, with sperm bots?
That is exactly what the fine people of Engadget called it when they named this story. it's kind of ingenious. If you've ever seen any Dead Rising or possibly other games that do it too, yeah, you've probably seen where they just slap a cone on a zombie's head and it ends up kind of nullifying it. Well, they kind of did the same thing in order to make the sperm more mobile. They slapped a cone on their head made of carbon nanotubes and then figured out how to manipulate it with magnetism. And so basically they can guide the sperm however they want.
Wow. Would you say that's animal magnetism?
It is one half of an animal magnetism.
So they're like sperm unicorns that are controlled by
they're
magnets?
They're spermicorns. If you want to see video footage of the spermicorns, you can by going to our Facebook page.
What are they going to do with these?
Anything they
want. What's
the practical
application of having robots?
Well, okay. The main thing that they were thinking about is doing... probably adding more sensor technology to them and so on. This is just the driving mechanism. and then okay. make it into something that they'd That's put useful. Into your body
oh.
to explore and find oh. things that have gone wrong and oh, such.
Okay. That's a happy ending.
So, I mean, just look forward to the day where you're really positive, like, oh, I can't wait to get some bull semen inside of me.
Not, no, you need the robotic wow. type, that's Jason.
Because it'll probably not, cure me.
You need to not ever say that sentence again.
Yeah, that was...
It's for science and the saving of lives.
For science!
Right.
Straight out of Germany.
I can't make this stuff up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely...
True story.
Wow, this feels weird going to my next story
Man,
from
transition.
That. The story I got from Polygon, Oregon Youth Game Design Camp returns. Following successful launch in the summer, Pixel Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Portland, Oregon, is planning a winter game design youth camp at the end of the year. The four-day course features hands-on workshops to create tabletop and video games. Attendants will be building game worlds using cards, papers, tiles, dice, and tokens, as well as submitting design documents through drawings and choose your own adventure program, Twine. In the summer camp, attendants chose areas of game development that interested them most, including art and animation, computer science and programming, and design. Many of the volunteers for the camp are being drawn from the Portland Indie Game Squad, an open game maker and player community. Pixel Arts is seeking more subject matter experts and non-experts to volunteer for the camps. Founders Will Lewis and Jeffrey Sins created Pixel Arts in June 2013 to, quote, provide a framework for community groups to organize and create local opportunities for safe intergenerational game education, according to the organization's official website. Another camp is being organized for next summer. So, if you happen to find yourself in the Portland, Oregon area during the winter, you can check out this nonprofit game design place. The link for the Pixel Arts will be on our Facebook page as well, on Twitter and all that jazz, so you can go and check it out. All right, what's next? Maybe you can transition from that a little easier, maybe?
Game design to robot challenge. DARPA again is pushing the bounds of robotics, and they have a new challenge program that is designed to test the state of the art for multi-limbed robots, specifically for use in disaster zones like flooding or whatever. And the idea is to use them in place of humans, obviously, but also to use them to help with the disaster recovery efforts while the disaster is still in progress.
Okay.
So it's like, it's too dangerous for humans, but this device has been designed to slog through the flood to, you know, to save lives, save property, to help rescue efforts. All sorts of different things.
I'm getting visuals of like drop pods being dropped in from space and these robots descending out of them to help with disasters.
That would be awesome, but probably a little bit impractical for our purposes.
Well, they can handle the G-forces of an orbitable.
It's like a formidable.
Orbitable.
Smaug. Smaug.
Anyway, they're doing a
Smaug drop.
There's 17 different teams that'll be doing that. They'll be working on this project, which is pretty awesome. That's
a
few teams. But the idea is to you know, it's sort of like the firefighting robots that the Navy designed not so long ago. It's along those lines where it's like these are human or human-like multi-limb devices for working in situations where we would like a human type of interaction with the situation, but we can't afford to put a real person there or a living person there. So
I don't know why, but I want the Navy ones to be like centaurs.
That would be
more stability on the decks of ships and so on. There you go.
They would have a much harder time crawling through the narrow passages of the ship to put out the fires, though.
You underestimate the dexterity of a centaur, my friend, let alone a robo-centaur.
I'm not sure their dexterity score is that high yet. I mean, they need to ding a few more levels before they can get
they
there.
They re-rolled a lot of times. They used the drop the fourth dice rule, and then they were good.
Speaking of things that are good, you're listening to Robots Attack, the very one and good. Only Geek Central talk show here on KACU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound.
That's true.
It's awesome.
unlike this show, where you can't just walk in and buy time for whatever, because we're not sellouts like that. Somebody was trying to sell time on some of the biggest supercomputers in the world.
Watson?
The computers at California's Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory.
Ah.
And they were...
Speaking of nerds.
Right.
Yeah.
And they were trying to sell it for about $50,000. Whoa. Now, I don't know exactly how much time was involved, because the kibosh was quickly put down on this. I hope that's the way you actually put those words together.
That was correct. You
okay. Thank you.
It's Smaug.
The Smaug Bosh. Anyway, so apparently the person selling the time had no right to be selling the time at all because he was a hacker. His name was Andrew James Miller, and he had the unfortunate, well, he tried to sell the time to an FBI agent, so.
Oops.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, but it's great to have that entrepreneurial spirit, and maybe next time he'll build his own supercomputer and sell the time on it.
That'd be a much better use of his skills, it would seem.
So, while it's kind of a neat story, it encourages me from this side, the FBI was on top of this from the get-go, apparently. They were just in there, ready to pounce like cheetahs.
Row.
Like FBI cheetahs. Yeah. So, yeah. Cat-like reflexes, FBI.
Cat-like on the reflexes. Feet at all times. Always land. Boom. Feet.
That's pretty good.
So, were you going to say something, Elaine?
Yeah. Did you guys hear the news story about the iPhone cookies?
No.
Okay, so this guy, this is pretty funny.
I did.
It's so funny. This guy in Southern California, he's a comedian. He thought it would be hilarious to make some cookies that look like iPhones and then drive around trying to get cops to pull them over. His thought being, I'll get a cop to pull me over and then I'll take a bite and be like, what, are cookies illegal? Ha ha ha. So I read about it, I think yesterday or the day before. He was successful. And the follow-up today was that he was tweeting this while it was happening. He's in L.A. and he sees a cop go by. Okay, I saw a cop. I'm going to go get him and see if he'll pull me over. Drive by. drove by. Cop pulled him over and he tweeted something to the effect of, cop is kind of angry right now. He didn't think it was as funny as I did. Ha ha. He's going back to his car right now. He said, hold tight. And so the cop looked up and found out that he had some unpaid traffic fines. And asked him to come to the station with them.
Well played.
Yeah, exactly. Hilarious.
Cat-like
table of turns.
Yes, so the joke was, it was pretty funny still, but it was at the comedian's expense, unfortunately. Yeah, what he didn't expect.
You might pay your tickets before pulling a stunt like that.
His last tweet was a picture of him saying this wasn't worth it, and you know, picture of him holding up his fine. Like, yeah, I was an idiot.
Icing a little sad face.
Exactly.
On the phone.
Cookies
getting
weren't
pulled
that
over
good.
By cops is pretty much never fun. No. No offense to any cops out there.
Thank you for doing your job.
Yes, seriously.
I mean, Drew Carey's old routine about pulling over cops in the rain is not correct.
I don't. I'm unfamiliar.
Oh, man. Delusions shattered.
Well,
maybe illusions. Illusional delusions.
Speaking of things that won't be shattered or will be shattered, or maybe your mind with this, I've got the last story of the night. Unless someone has something they are dying to.
You got it.
Okay. Apparently, the story I nabbed from IGN, Jason Clark is up for the John Connor role in Terminator Genesis. Zero Dark Thirty actor Jason Clarke is reportedly in talks to play John Connor in Terminator Genesis, the fifth installment in the James Cameron-created series. Terminator would mark the second sci-fi franchise that Clarke has become the lead in following next summer's Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Thor: The Dark World's Alan Taylor will direct Terminator Genesis, which will also reportedly see Arnold Schwarzenegger return. According to Variety, Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones and Brie Larson from Short Term 12 have retested for the role of Sarah Connor. Clarke said to be the front runner, with a final decision expected to be made by the end of this week. Once Sarah Connor is cast, then actors, including Tron Legacy's Garrett Hedlund and X-Men First Class Nicholas Holt, will be tested for the movie's other male lead, Resistance fighter Kyle Reese, next week.
It's a name, isn't it?
That's two of them, yeah. Leta Kologridis and Patrick Lucer wrote the screenplay for Skydance and Annapurna. Paramount will release Terminator Genesis on July 1st, 2015. So those are some of the writers
that
for
so
it.
Wasn't so bad.
But, so yeah. Boy, I wonder what they're going to do with this series.
Start from scratch.
That's what it seems like. Hence the Genesis.
So can you do a little Arnold for us, Joe? You have the best Arnold.
Uh-huh.
On the spot, putting you on the spot.
I'll try to sneak it in.
All right, sounds
cause,
good.
Because right now we're going to take a music break, and so
nice. The next song will be sung by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, there you go. He might be in the local band, The Family Crest, singing the song "The Headwinds" on the album EP "The Headwinds." Who knows? You'll have to stick around and listen.
Never know.
He might be in there. All right. We are Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Central talk show here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. We'll be right back with more Robots Attack, like geek talk, right after this music break.
Cat-like reflexes.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack, renowned geek talk. All right, Caleb, you mentioned something.
Yeah, it's a really fascinating YouTube channel that I've been watching lately, which has been a heck of a lot of fun. It's CDZA, I believe. Let me check my notes here. Yeah, and they do a lot of like musical history and then like a lot of fun with music. Like they have a video that's about the like misheard lyrics throughout classic music, classic rock and roll and stuff like that.
Huh.
But what kind of turned me onto them was a set called The Instrumentals, and it's where they sort of cover the history of a particular element, musical element, like the bass,
Bass dropping,
yes, actually is covered in there, because they start out with like the double bass and the like from like classical music, and then they move up through history, electric bass, and then they also covered the infamous bass drop of the dubstep. So
nice.
It was really cool. They have a whole lot of them. They have a bunch that cover. There's one that's for drums, one for guitar. They also have a section that's like guitar solos, like throughout history, like kind of how they've evolved and things like that. But anyway, it's just a lot of fun. It's you're learning things and enjoying yourself at the same time, because they like switch like musical styles really rapidly. So these people are really really skilled musicians. So it's pretty fun to see them do their craft as well.
Yeah.
Cool. So we'll throw a link to our Facebook, search Robots Attack, and Twitter.
One thing I wanted to mention, I hope this is an opportune time for it, is
oh, boy. Brace well, yourself. I'm bracing myself.
Well, I never expected that I'd have to start paying attention to Spike TV's Video Game Awards, because apparently they had some really big stuff drop.
Yeah.
Okay, I can see I'm on the right track here. So yeah, they used those awards to announce, well, and to show off a new, what did they name the new Tomb Raider version?
The definitive edition
of Tomb Raider, which basically brings the last Tomb Raider game into the next-gen systems,
yeah,
utilizing all of that beauty. And it was already a pretty game to begin with.
Yeah.
And I never finished it, and so I'm probably going to be buying that. And yeah, plus they're using it as sort of a Game of the Year edition on top of it. They're going to bundle it with a lot of the multiplayer stuff too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm pretty happy about that. I'm cuz that was one of the games that I was sitting back waiting, like, okay, when I have a chance, I'm going to get that. And now I can put it on my next gen list. So that makes me happy. The second thing.
Yeah, I'm probably going to pick that one up again too. So.
Oh, okay. the second thing, or at least the big second thing for me, is more Borderlands.
Yeah.
So
I did hear about this.
But not as you expect.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, everybody was expecting Telltale Games to give an official announcement and maybe show some initial stuff from the Game of Thrones series that they're planning on putting together. That didn't happen. Instead, they announced it didn't happen to the extent that people expected. But they did full force announce, along with a really cool trailer, of a Borderlands, what's the name of it? And Tales from Borderlands or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Telltale Tales from Borderlands or Borderlands, something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, it looks really cool. Awesome.
Very awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's another one of the, well, their games are really excellent from what I've gotten through so far, and it's been one of those things that I've been kind of kicking myself that I haven't gotten any farther on them, because they're really beautiful in a
season
lot of different
two
ways.
Walking Dead, it's coming like next week or the week after or something like that.
And that was the other thing that they were I guess expecting a little bit more about, because it is coming up so close.
Yeah.
But yeah, completely caught everybody off guard by this. And see, the thing that's interesting to me, and what I'm kind of hoping is that I had sort of a front seat on history for, was, well, you and I both, Joe, mm-hmm, we ended up going to a developer, like, meet the fans type of conference at IGN.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so one of the lead writers for The Walking Dead was there, and you got to talk to him quite a bit. And then Andy Burch was there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're not only in the same room, but they're standing practically next to each other. They've got booths right next to each other. So I'm wondering if that wasn't the genesis for this entire thing.
Yeah, it's possible. I know the writer I spoke with is no longer at Telltale Games, but...
So it has nothing to do with it.
It could have been.
It could have gotten the ball rolling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know they both were fans of each other, so you know, I'm sure they were like, and you know, a chance to work together, especially after the success of The Walking Dead and The Wolf Among Us, like,
mm-hmm, yeah. And I know we've probably been Borderlands evangelists to death, but but if you haven't gotten past like the first hour of Borderlands 2, you really need to give it like another 20 minutes or something, because it sounds like there's a lot of people out there that never got a chance to appreciate kind of the finer points of it. They think that it's still just this madcap world that doesn't have any depth to it. It has so much depth, and I'm really looking forward to a game that is all about being in the middle of that instead of like all of the gunplay and whatnot.
Yeah.
Not that the gunplay is bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
This that's still good, but having something underneath it to hold it all together is really nice.
Yeah. For those who aren't terribly interested in that game mechanic, you know, the loot stuff, this will be just story and puzzle and
I don't know how they're doing it, but it looks like they're bringing back the main bad guy from that one. And it's definitely one of the best bad guys that they've put into a game so far, in my opinion, just because.
Yeah.
Really good, really good, horrible sense of humor, number one, and just about as evil as you can figure, so.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a good chance it might be even, like, you know, take a place in between one and two, you know, prequel-ish.
Yeah, there's all sorts of options, and not the least of which is that it's a big tech company, and so all of the digital options are there as well as far as his memory or whatever being preserved electronically.
Yeah.
Which seems to be what they're hinting at, but I don't know for sure.
Hmm. And then I will mention from that show also, No Man's Sky. Just go and watch the trailer.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Looks pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I was completely thrown off that there were so many big and interesting things coming out of that show. And, well, actually, and there's one more thing. Kind of one of the big things that kicked off Kickstarter being a really viable video game side of things was Double Fine's production that was the first one to be completely successfully funded and everything like that, and it got a ton. I think they actually ended up pushing the idea of having all of the extra unlocks on that one because it was so wildly popular. And thankfully, I was one of the people who funded this because they showed a little bit of this game and it looks really cool. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Team at Double Fine is a pretty good group of individuals.
Well, and the cool thing is they're going back to their roots and having a full-on adventure type of game.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's a point-and-click, like a Day of the Tentacle style adventure. But it's split across. I don't know if it's supposed to be two realities or two time periods, but yeah, it's supposed to bounce back and forth between a couple of characters. One of the characters,
Frodo Baggins himself.
Yes, Elijah Wood is going to be one of the main voices. And if you're a fan of Will Wheaton, which I'm actually still not sure I am, he is also going to be one of the voices. He's apparently the lumberjack. True.
And he's okay.
Who is afraid of trees.
There you go.
Welcome to Borderlands Logic.
Well, no. This is for Double Fine's.
Oh, Double Fine. Oh, okay, sorry.
You'd know that if you were paying attention to Jason. Man, look at this guy. No, he doesn't care. He doesn't care about you, Jason.
I momentarily lost track.
He's multitasking doesn't care. Is what he is doing.
You should give him a hug right now.
I'm hugging him in spirit. And he's touching me. He's touching me.
Okay, now kiss him.
No.
Let's start on the cheek.
Do you want tongue here or
start on the cheek? Let me
come on.
My
throw
camera
some money
in.
Get the camera ready.
No.
All right, then I will say one quick last thing to round out Geek Talk. The season finale, Sons of Anarchy. Oh my god. That's all I'm gonna say.
I've heard a lot of people doing OMG.
If you watch it out there, you know what I'm talking about. Oh boy. Next season, it's going to be crazy.
I think a full hour of work time was lost today on like four different people's parts just talking about that.
Yeah.
So.
All right, that's been Geek Talk. We're going to go to Cable's Corner. But before that, we've got a PSA.
Oh.
A PSA.
PSA. That's how you pronounce it.
A Tolkien PSA. From Smaug.
Tolkien.
Yeah. We're going to bury that joke.
Yes.
Audience is going to hate
that. The Museum of American Heritage presents Television, a History.
Yay.
An exhibit displaying a variety of unique 1940s and 1950s era television sets from the museum's collection. The exhibit explores Everything from how a television works to its social impacts. The exhibition opened September 27th and runs until March 23rd, 2014. And regular exhibit hours are 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, unless otherwise noted. The museum is located at 351 Homer Avenue in Palo Alto, and admission is free.
Dope. All right. You know what time it is.
And now, it's time for K-Lux Corner.
Hello, everyone. This is Caleb's Corner, where I get to talk about things that I find fascinating, interesting, and I get to talk about at length.
Like
which
Tolkien.
Is, like Tolkien, yes. like that. When we are on KSU 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound, just in case you were not paying attention earlier. In this case, I'm bringing up, I think I talked about this briefly about this story a while back. A gentleman in New York approached a homeless guy who was asking him for money and offered him, instead of $100 cash, 2 months worth of programming lessons taught by the individual. The homeless gentleman, whose name is Leo Grand, accepted, and this was in August. Since he opted for the lessons, they spent 2 months working on it. And actually, the period of time that which he they worked on it expanded up to more than 3 months, and he has released his first app. It's called Trees for Cars, and it's a carpool organizing app so that people can make better use of their environment and the things that they have around them. And
good job, homeless guy.
Yeah, and it's really cool. And the man who did the teaching, his last name is it's got a few more consonants than I'm used to pronouncing altogether. Makanalug?
Makanlugu.
That's probably better than mine. Patrick is his first name. There we go. And he is 23 years old, and he is works for the Princeton Review, who recently is opening up a new search engine specifically around education called Noodle. And they gave them space within the Noodle offices, both of these two.
The Noodle offices.
To work together on making this app happen. And the last 5 weeks of their time together, his boss allowed them to work together full time on completing the application. So this is it's really cool, and it's just a really great story of being willing to do something beyond just giving money to a person to help improve their lives, and in turn they gain skills which they can improve the lives of others, like writing an app for organizing carpools and things like that. It's really an amazing story, and y'all should check it out. And to me, what I get out of this is that teaching is the gift that was given in this case. And when he taught by teaching how to program, he allowed Mr. Grand deeper access into the world of technology, which could potentially lend him a job, which would then give him money, and he could then not be living on the street anymore. But also it gives him the ability to further impact the world and improve himself. It's like the old teach a man to fish adage.
I was waiting for this.
This is the real world application of that parable, that saying. It's like, this is how that works is in real life. And I just thought that was very cool. And also very awesome that, Mr. McClue's boss allowed him to devote so much time to this project, because it was just him being, you know, wanting to do something nice for somebody else, and it turned out to be something that both of these people will remember for the rest of their lives, and it will impact them both of their lives to going forward. So you never know what a little bit of effort on your part can mean to somebody else.
Or 6 months of effort.
But it's a relatively, again, the grand scheme of things, it's a relatively small amount of time that was spent at first.
It's true.
So you don't have to, and if you just be involved,
especially considering the extended lifespan of human beings that's getting longer and longer every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess the main thing is just to a reminder to be involved in your community. Even though the person may not have a house in your community, they are still a part of it. And if by reaching out to them, you can help them out as well, and be good to one another, and party on, dudes. No.
Nice. Well, speaking of things that can help people, not as good as that, but there's a radio stream. If you want to listen to KSU, even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website. Search for KSU and never be without the underground sound. All right, that's been another excellent edition of Caleb's Corner. We're now going to play another music break from the band Happy Fangs. Another local artist, because they like us to play local artists during our specialty show. The song title is That Activity from the album Happy Fangs. After the music break, we'll be back with The Core, where we're going to discuss some of our favorite holiday entertainment. And like I mentioned before, it's anything from Thanksgiving all the way up to New Year's. It can be movies, TV shows, music, stories. Just wanted to make it broad so we all have some stuff to choose from, but if you have some out there, definitely let us know, and Caleb will tell you how you can do that.
That's right. Before we go to the music, if you want to interact with us, you can find us on Facebook. We are Robots Attack. Do a search, two words, Robots Attack. Or you can find us on Twitter. We are Robots Attack Me, all one word. And then you can also find us on email, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And all of this is handily wrapped together at robotsattack.me. There's the interact button in the upper left, or the interact section on the right-hand side, which will have links to all the things that I have previously described.
All right. Here's Happy Fangs.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
You are now entering the core.
Welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Sister Talk Show here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. As the bumper stated, we are in the core. Tonight, we're going to talk about holiday entertainment, things we enjoy during the holidays, be they some movies, TV shows, music, video games, anything. I just wanted to see.
So eggnog doesn't count in this case?
That's entertainment.
Sure. Depending on how much
you
have. Yeah.
What's in it?
How not?
The way I make
it,
it's very entertaining.
Do you have a story with eggnog? Did you want to start us off?
Yes,
with that?
Entertain us.
I found a really nice recipe for old school eggnog, that the kind that is to be consumed by adults, not children, and it's quite delicious, and it's a lot of fun. It's actually really easy to make. Remember one
What manner of adult drink is in it?
There is rum and brandy.
Okay.
I've recently I tried one that also claimed to have whiskey in it, and that was quite tasty as well. We have to experiment with more than one batch this year. Try out different flavor arrangements.
Yeah, heck. Do it up.
So yeah, that's just it's fun for me and it's festive for everybody else, so I figure everybody wins.
It's true.
It's festive for us to watch you in the state of nogginess.
Nog, noggy, nog, 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 nog.
That also sounds like some sort of sci-fi thing. In the state of Nog.
There is something rotten in the state of Nog. You didn't mix the eggs very well.
All right, I'll start us off before people go crazy. Like, I hate eggnog. I don't care. I'm going to start us off with Die Hard. I love Die Hard. That's I don't care if people say, that's not a Christmas movie. That's a Christmas movie.
It's
true.
Yes.
It's true.
I know.
I was going to go with Die Hard, too. But
hey, that's a good one, too.
But, you know.
I watch them both usually around Christmas time anyway, so.
Because mm-hmm. You know, that's when it's on the TVs.
Mm-hmm. Or on the stream.
Along
if you
with
want
everything else.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm going to go with one that preaches the evils of drugs, and you get to see a young drug dealing Timothy Oliphant, our justified hero. The movie Go is technically a Christmas movie. Because
okay,
it takes place during
a
Christmas rave,
Christmas. Wow.
At least through like two out of three of the storylines. So
yeah,
that
it
is
counts.
A fun movie.
Fair point.
It counts. Yeah, it's been a while since I watched that.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. It's filled with the fun horribleness.
The unexpected holiday cheer, so to speak. I don't know. One that I always fall back on is the Rankin Bass stop motion collection. Like mostly because I'm
what?
A Rankin Bass, the guys who did the Rudolph and the Island of Misfit Toys and all those. Like yes, they are very cheesy, but I'm a sucker for stop motion animation. they were for a while kind of like one of the top people doing it that weren't in like. $1 million budget movie level stuff. So
okay,
it's a lot of fun.
I don't think I've ever seen more than a few minutes. Of any
yeah,
of those.
I'm about the same way because
watch them as a kid.
Yeah, I had very serious parents, so that would never end up on the television.
I didn't have serious
ever.
Parents. I don't know why I missed this.
Although I will definitely admit, the sound that Rudolph's nose makes me want to pierce my eardrums.
Why? What is it? What does it sound like?
It is beyond
like
the human capacity to express. I'm not sure I could impersonate it.
It's almost in dog.
We
frequency.
Need a clip.
I'm impersonating it right now.
Oh,
dogs
ears.
Are going crazy.
Yeah, I think I'm sort of in the same boat. I'm pretty sure I've watched all of them at least once, like all the way through.
Okay.
But other than that, like I like just little bits and clips of stuff. Like, is that part of the same thing? Like,
yeah, I'm.
Have...
Yeah.
I'm more aware of the things that people have done to make fun of them.
Yes.
Than...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And those have been hilarious. But I won't talk about them. I will talk about Gremlins.
Oh yeah,
nice
that's Christmas.
Yeah,
too.
I had that on my list.
Jason's got
yeah.
a little bit of a dark twist in his list.
What do you mean? No, no,
Gizmo,
caca. yeah, it's really thrown me off how many people aren't even aware of it, and I, yeah, if you haven't seen it, check it out.
Unfortunately, it is.
Oh. Yeah, it's back from 1984.
Oh, okay.
And actually, I would have completely forgotten about it most likely, even though I do like the movie a lot. If it hadn't been for one of my favorite video blog shows doing a thing making fun of it that just came out today. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's perfect. So I'll talk about it.
Does it still hold up? It's been a while since I've watched it. Have you watched it recently?
I watched it 2 years ago, okay. I think. And
I think we watched it with you.
Yeah.
It's pretty
80s. Yeah.
But the effects overall are quite good because it was still mostly puppetry, so they were mostly set with the creature, so it looked really nice in that sense.
Well, yeah, and the gremlins are so well crafted that they look like they'd be something that would cause nightmares for you. So
yeah,
but yeah, if you're not familiar with it, check it out, or at the very least, go to Glove and Boots, and you can see a thing making fun of it.
Nice.
All right, I'll go next. I tried to find the specific clip for this so I could sort of relive it again because it's been a really long time, but I remember as a child really liking it, so I'll still count it since I know at some point in my life I really enjoyed it. But the Mickey's Christmas Carol cartoon.
I love
Donald Duck in general, but man, his part as like Scrooge's nephew or something, Fred, I think. Man, I just remember like just busting up in that. He was like trying to sell him like Christmas wreaths or something. And he's like, get out of here. And he's like just doing Donald Duck stuff and then like throwing the wreath at the end of the door, like even after Scrooge like kicks him out or something. I just remember like busting up in it because it's like, oh, it's Donald Duck. Oh, man, he's great. Just. So I remember really liking the whole cartoon, but specifically like loving the Donald Duck part.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I again haven't watched it in a while because like I even looked on Netflix and like they don't have it. Like
you can buy a DVD of it.
Yeah.
I want to say my niece and nephew might have it.
Yeah, we got it. We gave it to them.
No, I don't think we did. But they think they might have it.
Yeah, because I tried to find some other clips and there's another one that's like Once Upon a Christmas or something like that. Like there's another Mickey Mouse one. And I was like, no, that's not it.
Like, yeah. That one has like the princesses and stuff in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This one is Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah. I always really loved their animation of Peter and the Wolf too.
Oh,
that one's for me. That's one of the Christmas things. It's such beautiful music. I love that little animation. I haven't seen that in years.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, it's a lot of fun. And the San Francisco Symphony, we used to go to that every year. They have a children's symphony during the holidays that does Peter and the Wolf, and then they have different narrators. And the year we stopped going, Leonard Nimoy was the narrator.
Oh.
Like, we could have seen Nimoy. That would have been perfect.
Yeah, we found out after it was over, like, no.
Well, before someone mentions the next thing, our last PSA of the night is again about the San Jose Animal Advocates. If you're a homeless, if you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org. Or look for them on Facebook. And I posted a link to that specific cat I spoke of earlier on our Facebook page.
Cool.
On Robots Attack, so you can go and check it out. So who wants to go next?
Okay, first off, I need to openly shame iTunes.
Oh, man.
Because they do not have a copy of Gremlins for sale on their store when I could find every other movie that I had on my list on their store.
For shame.
So, shame on you.
Okay. Go ahead. Some shaming going on there. Okay, so away from that.
Yeah.
I honestly think you can't mention holiday entertainment without talking about It's a Wonderful Life.
Okay.
Because that movie is wonderful, as described.
Yeah, I think that's sort of like the, I forget the name of the stop motion thing.
Rankin Bass.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I've seen that movie once, like all the way through. But I've just seen like little bits and clips here and there of the stuff. So
yeah, I recognize that it's probably a really good movie and everything, but I was subjected to it so many times in my youth before I could probably appreciate it.
You probably had the...
That it ended up ruining it for me.
You probably had the Annie effect.
It used to always be shown right after the Thanksgiving Day parade.
Okay.
Like, that's what would pop up, and I think it's just a wonderful movie. I could watch it every year and just be perfectly happy with that. But I love Jimmy Stewart, so...
Yeah, I think it's... As far as going along with that, I think it's sort of with, like, A Christmas Story.
I could watch that one every year, too.
It's good, but I'm kind of done with it myself.
A little burnt out.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it in a few years, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that seems to be sort of the best thing is...
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that movie.
Yeah, I mean... What is it, like TNT or TBS that shows it like 24 hours?
24 hours, yes.
Like, whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I will mention probably definitely one of my favorite Christmas movies. Oh, man, I love this movie. Bad Santa. With Billy Bob Thornton. Oh, it's definitely not for the kids.
I did not expect to like that movie as much as I did.
It's so good. It's so bad. It's so good. Not bad because it's a bad movie, but just like he is not your role model.
Yeah. I saw somebody was selling, like, you know how this time of year a lot of the t-shirt companies make the fake sweaters where it has like sort of the knitted art and whatnot.
Yeah.
Somebody had a Bad Santa one.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah. There's a Metallica holiday sweater now, officially licensed. I saw somebody wearing it the other day. It's hilarious.
Oh, and there's free holiday camo for Call of Duty.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Yeah, it has the patch and the camo for the gun and the background.
Nice. Okay.
And the reticle is a snowflake.
Yes.
That is totally awesome.
I'm surprised they didn't like retroactively add like holiday camos to all of the games from the past too. There's still a lot of people playing the Black Ops games too.
It's true.
But I guess you have to spend your money where you figure it'll get you the most bang for your buck.
It's true.
And speaking of bang, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Oh. Yeah, I forgot that was
totally holiday movie. It's interesting. Shane Black has a tendency to make holiday movies. Lethal Weapon was also technically a holiday movie.
This
is one that was introduced to me by the person sitting at the console right now, and I love you for it.
Oh,
because it is probably one of my favorite movies. The sense of humor is exactly where I come from, and it definitely relaunched Robert Downey Jr.'s career. And unfortunately, it ends up being kind of the end cap for Val Kilmer's career, because I haven't seen him in much of anything besides really indie stuff since then. But one of these days, Val Kilmer and Shane Black are going to make something awesome. I can feel it in my bones. But yeah... And there's a very tasteful holiday rave scene that involves deer.
That's true, yeah.
That I didn't mind so much.
It's very true. Again, probably not for the children.
No.
But hey.
No, not so much.
But here's something that is for the children. Home Alone.
Okay.
Good choice.
It's a classic, you know. I mean... It's been a little while.
It is one of the few holiday movies I don't hate. So,
such a Scrooge, Jason.
What? And speaking of that, I love Scrooge. Every incarnation of Scrooge.
Yeah, Scrooged was another one on the list.
Yes, I love Scrooge. That movie's hilarious.
Good old Bill Murray and that, like, I think I was very near the beginning. The like spoof. Sort of movie that they were with Lee Majors, I think, or something like rescuing Santa or something,
so
like machine gun.
Funny. And the little good fairy that's kicking him in the face,
yeah,
hitting him with a toaster. Bill Murray at his best.
It's good, it's good,
it's good stuff.
Are you a fan of Home Alone and Scrooged? Or...
I liked both of those. I actually ended up
I don't hear any passion in your voice.
I watched the whole lot of the Home Alone movies.
What was the main character's name?
No.
Macaulay. Macaulay.
That is correct.
It never gets old seeing...
The original Culkin.
Seeing people get hit in the head with paint cans and then rock down the stairs onto a pile of Legos and stuff like that. You can't replace that.
It's true.
Nor should you.
Exactly.
Or the, faking people out with, like, a TV... And they can,
yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that would work in real life.
Yeah.
I remember watching that and being totally sold on it at the time, and then it slowly dawning on me.
That wouldn't work, but it's really cool.
Yeah.
I'd say along those same lines as that, and Scrooge does definitely Christmas Vacation, too.
Oh, okay.
That one's been a while since I've watched it. I wouldn't mind seeing that one again.
Yeah.
I mean, National Lampoon's.
Yes. That one.
Yeah. I remember a line about Nipply. That's what I remember.
Oh, boy. Am I going to have to dump that?
I could have said more, but I left it at that.
Did you have something, Caleb?
Just the Peanuts collection of holiday specials. Like, no, if you don't watch at least one of them, it feels like the holidays aren't quite complete. You have to watch at least one.
That's true.
Okay, you got me on that one. It's one of the few kitty things that I don't hate to.
I can stand that.
Yeah, I can stand it.
Jason's an Elcor.
Emphatic statement. Right. That is one I do not hate.
Urge to kill.
Non-hateful statement. And if you weren't ready for it, you can take your shot. Because that is officially our... Mass Effect reference tonight.
Yep.
Okay, I've got another one probably is going to seem out of place.
All of yours are.
What? They all happen during Christmas.
Okay, do it.
They all happen during Christmas.
It's true.
Yeah, it's true.
Brazil.
The movie or the country?
The entire country. No.
It only takes place
in
Christmas.
Terry Gilliam movie. It really only took place during Christmas to show off how nasty the corporate atmosphere was as a contrast. But still, technically, I'm claiming it.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I'm going to throw out one. Again, that has been a while since I watched. I remember at the time liking it. I don't know if I'd like it now. I probably need to rewatch it, but it's actually a Thanksgiving one. Son-in-law, Pauly Shore movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the ones that's actually...
Pauly Shore.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. I know. Nice. You're probably like, what? But I remember the last time I watched it, like, it's actually surprisingly good for, like, a Pauly Shore movie.
Yeah,
but
it holds together well enough.
It has been a while since I watched it, so maybe it hasn't, but at the time it did.
It is the cream of the crop of Pauly Shore movies. I'd rank it right up there with Encino Man, personally.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
But I like the girlfriend in that one a lot.
Although your favorite role of hers in Sin City, but
not true. But other than that, yeah. I'm a fan of her.
I will mention, of course, the classic Seinfeld episode called The Strike, but most famously known for Festivus.
Yes, Festivus for the rest Festivus. Of us. Time for the Feats of Strength.
Feats of Strength. And the airing of grievances,
yes,
right?
The Festivus Bowl.
If you're not familiar with Seinfeld, none of that makes any sense to you, but for those who are, it's classic.
Yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of people can probably relate to holidays and family get-togethers being the time for airing of grievances.
Right, yeah.
That seems kind of natural.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It's funny to me because I never actually watched the show Not a bit of it. I think I watched a grand total of an episode over its entire lifespan.
Oh, jeez.
And that's counting all the clips that have been all over the place.
Yeah, but I did read something recently about a Festivus pole being set up next to a nativity scene. I think at a state capitol or
nice.
Like, yes, that's kind of awesome.
It's like the internet, you're doing it right.
I do know there's a, I meant to rewatch it again, but before we did the show, but there's a actual, like, I think it's called like a very special supernatural Christmas or something like that. It's in the third season.
Oh yeah.
It's a pretty decent episode. The best parts are actually, I won't spoil anything, but there's like flashbacks with Sam and Dean as like younger, kids. And
okay.
It sort of goes into the origin of his necklace and some of the other things like
okay.
the relationship between Sam and their dad and that sort of thing. And so
nice.
It was
I always
want to good...
say the relation or between Sam and Max for some reason. I know that's wrong.
One of them
Makes
is
sense.
A game.
True.
Toss out a quick one for Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Okay.
And that, you know,
okay.
A lot of it's been done a lot of times, but I've always thought that one was especially good. I mean, it's hard to go wrong with adding Muppets to pretty much anything. So,
uh-huh.
It's true.
Was there a Christmas episode of He-Man at some point?
I guarantee you there was.
Sure, probably starred He-Man and She-Ra.
I don't think you want to watch it
together. Yeah. G.I. Joe showed
up. G.I. Joe did one. A-Team has one, I'm sure. The animated A-Team, that is.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Okay.
They made animated everything.
So nobody's going to talk about the Star Wars Christmas special?
I think that exists all on its own and need not more be said about it.
Oh, man.
It is classic in a way.
Was there a Star Trek Christmas episode? That I don't know.
I
don't know.
I can't remember specifically.
Man, with all the different series, I'm sure there had to be one at least. I know somebody out there is yelling at us, yes, it was episode blah, 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 season this. Tuvok showed up with 7 of 9, and then the Q guy danced, and then Picard said engage, and then there was Troy.
That is truly the best Christmas
was
episode
there.
Ever.
And then Sisko said, I'm on a station.
I think Worf played Scrooge.
Sisko,
yeah.
The musical performer?
Yes, exactly. Quark was his backup dancer. Okay, so while we wrap this up, I will mention another... I believe Thanksgiving, it had a part in it a little bit.
What?
Rocky.
Well, there was a Rocky that took place during Christmas also.
Yeah, but, you know...
But you didn't like
is,
that one?
Well, this is just the original Rocky.
Oh, okay.
It's the best, so...
Okay. Well, true.
That had Thanksgiving in it, since I included Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, although I couldn't think of anything for New Year's, but I know there's got to be some
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. In a more recent tradition, someone re-edited scenes from Star Trek The Next Generation so that the crew of the Enterprise sings Let It Snow.
Nice.
Let It Snow, Picard style. Nice.
Nice.
I've got, well, okay, I'm going to berate all of you for not mentioning this one, Nightmare Before Christmas, and then I'm going to move smoothly on.
Not a fan of that one, Jason?
No, I'm just surprised that nobody brought it up, because I can't get away from people talking about it most of the time.
It's true. It's got a huge, crazy fan base, and I like it. I'm just not a nutty fan about it.
Oh, okay. I'm more or less in the same boat. Yeah. But I was going to mention one that, to throw a little bit of British Christmas flavor on here, the movie Love Actually. Also
I
a Christmas movie.
I have yet
movie.
To see that one. Everybody I know says, oh, you'd love it. You should see it.
Yeah. Yeah. It can be the harsher side of love, but
true.
But it is definitely a good movie.
Sweet.
Nice. All right. Any last ones before we wrap up, Caleb?
Okay. No, I think I'm good for now.
Now I will mention one of I'm not a huge fan of Christmas music, myself, but there is one that I really, really like.
The Arnold Schwarzenegger Christmas special.
Sing it for us. Sure. Sing it for us.
It's by the band Fits in the Tantrums. It's called Santa Stole My Lady.
Okay.
It's a really good song. Check it out. So
he's got the gifts and the flying sled.
It's true.
It's hard to compete with that.
It's very hard to compete with that. But speaking of things that you don't need to compete with, I don't know. You just sit back and relax and enjoy the pre-funk show. It's coming up next. Stick around. All right. That's been Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Central Talk Show here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to have a really short show next week. Probably just going to play some music, maybe do some chit-chat. So if you aren't around and this is the last time you get to hear, have wonderful holidays. Have a great new year. And thanks for listening. And we will be back in the new year. All right. Thanks again for listening. Stick around. Pre-funk show.
Raccoon, Verona, Misto.